SBS Radio.
I'm with senior curator at Heidi Museum in Melbourne and co-author of the book Mirka and George, A Culinary Affair, Kendra Morgan. Welcome in studio.
Thank you, Audrey.
Kendra, you're here with us today to talk to us mainly about that book. But first, I'd like to know, because most of our listeners know Mirka and George. We had Mirka on the program, interviewed her several times. There might be a few people who might not be familiar with them, and they've got a pretty crazy story. Can you talk to me a little bit about them?
Sure. Well, I think Mirka is very familiar to Melbourne audiences in particular, because she was quite a public personality and often on television. I mean, she's most well known too as an artist. She did quite a lot of public art around the city, including the mosaic at Flinders Street Station and St Kilda Pier, and the beautiful murals, painted murals she did in Tolano French Bistro in St Kilda, which she and Georges used to own in the 1960s. I first came across Mirka about 10 years ago when I worked on an exhibition with her at Heidi Museum of Modern Art, and subsequently another one in 2014. And I began to find out about their crazy past, as you said, then at that point. It was a very, kind of brief way. Mirka was from Paris. She was born there in 1928, and she was a survivor of the Holocaust. Her family were Jewish. Her dad was Lithuanian. Her mother was Romanian. And by a miraculous means, actually, they narrowly missed going to Auschwitz. And Georges was from Germany. He was born Gunter Morawski. And Georges Morand, which became Georges Mora, was the name that he took when he worked for the French resistance during the war, smuggling Jewish orphans out of France into Switzerland and Portugal. And they met after the war at an orphanage where Mirka was a supervisor and Georges was still working for the same organisation that he had when he was in the resistance. And they apparently met over a game of ping pong. And she went to attend a surrealist, the Jean-Louis Barrault Theatre School in Paris after the war, and they married in 1947, had their first son Philippe in 1949, and came to Melbourne, of all places, in 1951 to escape the Cold War. And they apparently tossed a coin. They were either going to go to Casablanca, which Georges had loved. He'd had been in the French Foreign Legion and he knew the city well, or and Mirka was quite interested in Melbourne. She'd read about it, and she won the toss. So they arrived.
So there's definitely plenty there. There's plenty to make a book. And how did the book come about? How did you decide to work on that book?
Yeah, well, there was plenty of, that's just the beginning. You know, there was plenty of material. So we decided that we would explore Mirka and Georges' contributions to Melbourne's culinary landscape, because they made so many contributions. They were real. They, when they arrived in Melbourne, they after a time ended up living in 9 Collins Street, not far from the Sofitel, and they, the Sofitel wasn't there then, but that's where the building was, Grosvenor Chambers, which you can still see the facade of. And they attracted a very bohemian milieu. They knew a lot of the artists associated with Heidi and the Heidi founders, John and Sunday Reed, such as Charles Blackman and Arthur Boyd, John Percival, Joy Hester. They were all part of their circle. And they would put exhibitions of those artists' work on at their Collins Street apartment. And they then opened Mirka Cafe in Exhibition Street in 1954, and went on to open the Balzac restaurant in East Melbourne in 1956, and then Tolano in 1964. So they really introduced French, authentic French cuisine to Melbourne in many ways. I mean, there were other immigrants doing so, but they were real trailblazers. They had the first liquor license at the Balzac in Melbourne, which they served alcohol till 8 o'clock and then later 10 p.m. It sounds so advanced, doesn't it, the standards of these days. And then Tolano French Bistro was a very successful restaurant, as was Balzac. So they really helped change the face of Melbourne in terms of it becoming a more cosmopolitan, internationally focused city in terms of its cuisine and in terms of its art.
And you had the special access when you wrote the book.
special access to Mercus papers. Yes, we did. We were very lucky. So we first started to kind of conceive the book in about 2015. And, you know, we said to Mirka, we'd love to write a book about your and George's restaurants. And she said, oh, that would be a great honour, you know. And she was showed us this amazing scrapbook that she kept that was really seriously about 10 or 12 centimetres thick. And it was huge, A3 in size, that she had retained all the newspaper clippings on all the restaurants and on her early art practice as well. And we were able to go through that. And then we were given access to her diaries, which were fascinating because she did keep not extensive records, but we were able through the diaries to track all the celebrities who came to the restaurants. For example, you know, it would say something, Marlene Dietrich came in today to the Balzac, or Stanley Kramer and the cast of On the Beach, or at Tolano there are, you know, a lot of politicians came, Nugget Coombs, Charles Spry, Mick Jagger came when he was in Australia to film the Ned Kelly film. And so the diaries were really helpful as well. And she often, also her sketchbooks and like visual diaries in themselves, they often referred to where she was, what she was eating, you know, her favourite foods, and we accessed her cookbooks too.
And there's a special connection of Mirka with Heidi.
Oh, there is, yes. So she met John and Sunday Reid around 1952, 1953, and she actually came to know them through a mutual friend, John Sinclair, who was a music critic. And he told Sunday Reid that he'd met Mirka at a party where she very dramatically took her hat off and threw it into the fire to liven it up. And she and he ended up having a long conversation about Paris, and he discovered she made dresses, and he put her in touch with Sunday, who commissioned a dress. I don't know if that's right. The right word, ordered a dress probably, and it was fine white linen. Apparently Sunday loved it so much she put it on the wall like an artwork. And Sunday was a real francophile. She'd spent quite a lot of time in the 1920s living in France. She spoke fluent French. She loved French literature and poetry, and so they were kind of a natural fit. And, you know, the Moras were very you know, urbane and cosmopolitan. They'd been living in Paris. They'd been, you know, listening to Edith Piaf, every week. And they'd been eating out, and they were very knowledgeable about world events and about art and culture. And that really dovetailed beautifully with the Reid's own interests and passions. And so they became quite firm friends. And in fact, they remained friends until the Reeds both died in 1981, and at that point George was a board member of Heidi Museum of Modern Art when it first opened.
And do you think that your book, is it for people who already know them and want to learn a little bit more? Can it be also for people who are just discovering them right now with this interview? Who is it for?
Yeah, it can definitely be for both, because the book, it's a mixture of biography and, you know, with a focus on food but also a focus on art. And it also has recipes from the Moras, you know, own cookbooks at home, but also from each of the restaurants. And it starts at the very beginning, so it traces their childhoods and then moves into their, you know, adolescence, and then their difficulties during the war. And then they had some pretty amazing adventures. You know, as you can imagine, when Georges was rescuing the Jewish orphans, he was working with the mime Marcel Marceau, and they were dressing as nuns in disguise to take the orphans across the Swiss and Portuguese borders. And in fact he earned the code name Monsieur Mayonnaise, because he came up with this ingenious idea of wrapping the children's identity documents in wax paper, smothering them in mayonnaise, traditional French mayonnaise, and for which there is a recipe in the book, and then putting them in baguettes so they looked like, you know, sustenance for the children. But he'd noticed, being a gourmet, that the German soldiers in French cafes didn't like to take off their gloves or get them dirty, so he knew they wouldn't touch the baguettes. And that's how they managed to get their identity documents. But, I mean, this, the idea of these two men dressed as nuns, one of them Marcel Marceau, one of them Georges Morat, with 8 to 10 children, and literally taking them through the Swiss Alps and then pushing them across through the barbed wire to get them across the border. It's extraordinary. And we tell that story, you know, and we tell the story of Mirka's amazing, you know, survival, not being sent to Auschwitz, because when she was rounded up in July 1942 in the Valdiv roundup with, you know, 13,000 other Jewish people, when they were taken to Pithiviers, the holding camp for Auschwitz, her mother had, on the cattle train on the way there, her mother made her read out the names of the stations they were passing through, and her mother wrote the names of the stations down on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope and addressed it to Mirka's father, who hadn't been rounded up, and it said on it, "If you find this, could you please put a stamp on it and post it?" And Mirka pushed it out through the slats of the cattle train at the last stop, and it floated away on the breeze, and someone picked it up and posted it, got it to Mirka's father, who used his resistance contacts to get them out, and very few people survived that roundup, very few, about 100. So quite extraordinary. And those stories are all shared, as well as the stories about Melbourne and food and artists and so forth.
Is there anything that you've learned while writing the book that you didn't know about Mirka and George?
Oh, I think we probably learned a lot of things. I mean, there's more stories to be told about their childhoods, but also we had I think we learned a real sense of how, because they had such difficult lives, you know, before they came to Australia and suffered, you know, tragedy and trauma, when they came here, they were ready to embrace life. And they were both very, particularly Mirka was very playful, and she, you know, had a real sense that she'd lost her childhood during the war, so she wanted to recapture it. And we both, Leslie and I, who I wrote the book with, kind of developed a real emotional connection to them. We loved Mirka anyway, and we wished we'd met George, but they were very fascinating people. Mirka was very open as a person, but George was much more contained. And I found that interesting too, to discover that his boys never knew until they were adults that he was in fact German by birth. And they hadn't heard his war stories either until Marcel Marceau came to Australia in the 1960s and started to tell them about all these escapades and adventures. You know, they just thought he was Dad. So yeah, there were a lot of things that came out, and I think they were quite rare and extraordinary people.
And you mentioned recipes in the book too. Do you have any favorite? I don't know if you've tried them, any that are special?
Yeah, we did try them all, and the Heidi staff were fantastic. They were our test kitchen, and family and friends. So all the recipes are tried and true. Several of them have been tried a number of times, and we also had the help of a food writer, Amanda Luck, who volunteered to help us, and she's a Cordon Bleu trained chef. So she was really good, because Mirka was notorious for not writing down, you know, kind of methods or quantities of ingredients. But anyway, I would probably recommend her coq au vin, which is absolutely delicious. My 14-year-old, it's very simple. She made it last weekend. It's really fantastic. And the Madeleines are lovely. The beef bourguignon is very good. That came from the first French chef from the Balzac, Claude Varissier, who's in his late 80s, and he contributed to the book. And you can't go past the chocolate mousse, which is very simple. And Mirka is very famous for, particularly at Tolano, getting a dollop of chocolate mousse on the end of her spoon and flicking it at the unexpected guests when she felt like she needed to liven up the occasion. So the chocolate mousse has to be a dessert that you'd like to try. And there's also Fontainebleau, which is a very traditional French dessert, quite creamy. And we couldn't find a recipe for it because apparently it comes prepackaged these days. But Claude found one for us and provided that, and that's very tasty as well.
I've seen the book around Melbourne in a few places. Is there a specific place where it's best to get it, or any bookstores? Really?
Yeah, well, of course I'd encourage you to come to Heidi, because we have a beautiful exhibition up of Mirka's drawings and her dolls at the moment. 400 objects in the exhibition. It's quite remarkable and, you know, quite immersive. And then you could buy the book in the Heidi store. But it's also available at, you know, Readings and Dimmicks and all the good bookstores, Hill of Content Avenue in Richmond. Yeah, St Kilda Readings, all around the place. Corrie Perkins Bookstore in Armidale.
And the exhibit that's on at the moment, that's until the end of March.
That's on till the end of March. So it's the major exhibition on at the moment at Heidi Museum of Modern Art. Yeah, not long, only a 20-minute drive from the CBD.
Thank you so much, Kendra.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Audrey, for having me on the program.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.